That's the first act of this. Life in its naivete commits destruction and violence. He's a brute. He rides. He comes upon a woman seated with a dead knight on her lap. She's lamenting the knight, and he rides up, Parsifal, and she says, "Who are you?" He says, "My name is Bonfils, Chefis, Beaufils." That's all he knows of himself. Well, she recognizes that formula. She is his aunt, his mother's sister, and the knight who's dead on her lap has been killed defending the land that Parsifal should have been defending. She tells him this, who he is, and she tells him what his name is. His name is Parsifal. And she renders it in terms of a French translation, which Wolfram invents, Perceval, through this middle, between the pair of opposites of black and white. And Wolfram's own coat of arms was a coat of arms of two flags like this. His helmet had these two things, and on his shield were the two, between the two. The theme of his whole story is going right through the middle between black and white, incorporating both, and not going to this side or to that. Well, she sees him, and he says he's looking for Arthur's court, and she's afraid of what will happen to him there, so she misdirects him, and he goes down a road greeting everybody, God be with you, and all that kind of thing. And he comes finally, when night falls, to a fisherman's hut. Now, this fisherman is a very interesting figure. The fisher king, who's the Grail King, he's going to encounter later, but now he is just biologically motivated, you might say, for fame and success. He's a little animal out there. And the fisherman is a very avid for game fisherman also. So when the boy comes in and says, "Will you put me up for the night?" The man says, "No, I won't. I don't want anything to do with you." Well, he says, "How about this brooch?" Great, wonderful brooch that the boy has stolen from the woman. The fisherman accepts it and gives him great hospitality that night and conducts him to Arthur's court. Here is the fisherman as the guide to Arthur's court. Arthur's court is now the symbol of the social sphere, achievement and success in the social order. So here are the battlements of Arthur's castle, and this youth comes trotting along on this lame nag. He sees coming forth from the castle a glorious knight in brilliant red armor and a brilliant red horse with a brilliant red lance, and he's holding in his hand a golden cup, which he has just snatched from Queen Guinevere. He has walked into the court, and he is claiming certain lands, which he declares Arthur has taken from him. And in claiming his lands, he simply takes this cup, insults the court, and says, "I'll wait for you out on the jousting field and send somebody to get this cup back." So he says to the youth, "You tell him in there to send somebody out when he sees this funny lout coming along." So Parsifal goes, arrives at the court, is ushered in by a polite little page, and immediately asks to be knighted. And says, "I want to be a knight. And I want the red suit I saw on that fellow out there on the horse." Well, Arthur's seneschal, Kay, says, "Tell him to go get it himself. See what'll happen." Arthur's a bit confused by the whole thing. Then the apology for having spilt wine on the queen that the knight addressed to the queen is rendered, and Parsifal, without further ado, just strides out to get that suit. Now, there's a woman who has been silent and who has never laughed, and there's a prophecy that when she sees the greatest knight in the world, she's going to laugh, and indeed, as Parsifal passes her, she breaks out laughing hysterically. This excites Kay so that he beats her up, and when Parsifal sees this happen, as he goes out, he just says, "I'm going to avenge that," and out he goes. Well, he sees the knight out there, he gets on his nag and trots out, and when the knight sees this coming as the champion of Arthur's court, a knight, you know, wouldn't soil the front part of his lance on a churl, on a lout. He just turns the lance backside to and gives Parsifal a biff that knocks both him and the horse over. But Parsifal takes his javelin and zing, sends it right through the eyepiece of the knight, and the knight is killed right there on his horse, like that. Well, that's the first great deed of this man, but again, this is not a knightly act. The little page that had brought him into the court comes rushing out and sees him dragging this knight around, trying to get the armor off. He doesn't know what to do to get it off. So the page helps him get the armor off and puts it on himself. He won't take off his mother's clothes that his mother gave him. Here he is now, clothed as a knight, and underneath is this fool's costume, you see. He's taught by the youth how to wield the lance and sword, and the youth says, you can't take those javelins with you. That's not a knightly weapon. So he gets on the horse, and the horse, the big Castilla, goes galloping, galloping, galloping all day because the boy hasn't learned how to stop it. The horse takes him. You see what we've got here? Just raw meat. The horse brings him then to a beautiful little castle of a knight named Gournemanz. Now, this is Wagner's Gournemanz, who opens the opera by introducing Parsifal to the Grail Castle. But this knight has nothing to do with the Grail Castle in Wolfram's text. This is important. The boy arrives on the horse, and the horse stops before the knight. The knight has a little hawk on his hand. And when Parsifal sees that the knight has gray hair, he says, I come to ask you for advice. Well, the knight says, if you're going to ask for advice, I have to have your assurance that you're not going to try to take this castle. Well, says the knight, yes, yes. So he brings him in, and when they take the red armor off, what they find inside simply mortifies everybody. But he's such a beautiful youth. He is a beautiful youth that they accept him. And the knight then, Gournemanz, gives him lessons in knightly conduct. Also, he becomes a kind of coach on how to handle yourself on a horse and in jousting and all that kind of thing. So in a couple of weeks, this extremely gifted youth becomes a full knight under the surveillance of this man. This man tells him some knightly rules, and here are some more mistakes that he's going to have to make. Don't do this, don't do that, don't ask too many questions. That's the principal rule that is going to be his downfall later. Then the knight offers him his daughter. The knight's three sons have been killed in combat. He thinks, now I have a fourth son. But Parsifal, and here is the point, feels, I must not simply accept a marriage. I must not simply accept a castle. I must not simply accept a life. I must earn it. So that's the end of the first phase of the story. This is the phase known as the life of the great fool, Parsifal as the great fool. And that is the situation in which Wagner keeps him. For Wagner, Parsifal, at the time of the solution of the Grail problem, is the great fool.